This morning we will be studying together the parable of the servant with different talents. We will be reading Matthew 25, verse 14, all the way through to verse 29. Verse 14. For the kingdom of heaven is as a man traveling into a far country, who called his own servants and delivered unto them his goods. Verse 15. And unto one he gave 5 talents, to another 2, and to another 1, to every man according to his several ability, and straightway took his journey. Verse 16. Then he that had received the 5 talents went and traded with the same, and made them other 5 talents. And likewise, he that had received 2, he also gained other 2. But he that had received 1 went and digged in the earth and hid his Lord's money. After a long time, the Lord of those servants cometh and reckoneth with them. And so he that had received 5 talents came and brought other 5 talents, saying, Lord, thou deliverest unto me 5 talents. Behold, I have gained beside them 5 talents more. Verse 21. His Lord said unto him, Well done, thou good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of thy Lord. He also that had received 2 talents came and said, Lord, thou deliverest unto me 2 talents. Behold, I have gained 2 other talents beside them. His Lord said unto him, Well done, good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of thy Lord. Verse 24. Then he which had received the 1 talent came and said, Lord, I knew thee that thou art an hard man, reaping where thou hast not sown, and gathering where thou hast not strawed. And I was afraid, and went and hid thy talent in the earth. Lo, there thou hast that is thine. His Lord answered and said unto him, Thou wicked and slothful servant, thou knewest that I reap where I sow not, and gather where I have not strawed. Thou oughtest therefore to have put my money to the exchanges, and then at my coming I should have received mine own with usury. Verse 28. Take therefore the talent from him, and give it unto him which hath 10 talents. For unto every one that hath shall be given, and he shall have abundance, but from him that hath not shall be taken away even that which he hath. Verse 30. And cast ye the unprofitable servant into outer darkness. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Amen. My dearly beloved, this morning we will be studying together the 1 talent, 2 talent, and 5 talent servants. To begin with, the 1 talent, 2 talent, and 5 talents servants are all servants of the Lord. They were given the talents as the Lord calls them. In verse 14 it says, For the kingdom of heaven is as a man traveling into a far country, who called his own servants and delivered unto them his goods. So, these refers to servants. Now, Matthew 25 is also contrasted with Luke 19. The same parable were both written in Matthew 25 and Luke 19. Now the Amplified Bible in Luke chapter 19 describes servants as bond servants or slaves. In other words, once we believe Jesus Christ and have received him as our own personal Savior, the Apostle Paul tells us that we are no longer free to live on our own or in our own flesh. We become contracted. We have written a contract, in other words, with our Lord Jesus Christ because he purchased us through his precious blood and we become his slaves. And it is written in the 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 19 and 20. I shall read these two verses for you. What? Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost which is in you, which ye have of God, and ye are not your own? For ye are bought with a price. Therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. You see, the Apostle Paul tells us we are purchased by the precious blood of Jesus to be his slaves. To the glory of God, we must glorify the Lord God in our body, in our spirit, just like the Apostle Paul writes here. For ye are bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. So as his bond servants, which means slaves, since our Lord Jesus Christ died on the cross and paid all of our sin debt in full, then he gave us the Holy Spirit as a gift from the Lord God, written again in 1 Corinthians 6, 19. The Amplified Bible writes this way. Do you know that your body is the temple, the very sanctuary of the Holy Spirit, who lives within you, whom you have received as a gift from God? You are not your own. You were bought with a price, purchased with preciousness and paid for and made his own. So then, honor God and bring glory to him in your body. You see, the Amplified Bible described the Holy Spirit to be given to us as a gift from God. The very moment we accept Jesus Christ as our personal Savior and confess and repented of every single one of our sins, the Holy Spirit will impart grace to us by indwelling in our body, his presence. In other words, once we have accepted Christ, we have signed what we call an eternal contract with our Lord Jesus Christ and accepting his salvation as a gift, of course. It is all through grace and by faith. So, as a result, the Apostle Paul reminds us that we no longer have the right to walk and live according to our flesh on our own. We become his children, and of course, in this scenario, we are also described as his bonded servants or slaves. Let's read on. And so verse 15 says, and unto one he gave 5 talents, to another 2, to another 1, to every man according to his several ability, and straightway took his journey. Now, when the Holy Spirit comes to indwell in our heart, one of the main purpose of the Holy Spirit as he transformed us into the image of Jesus Christ is that he gave gifts to us. All right, there are many, many gifts. For example, even in the present world that we live in, there are people who are very gifted with singing. There are people who are very gifted in math. There are people who are very gifted in accounting and so on. And of course, gifted with arts, etc. So, in the book of Ephesians, chapter 4, verse 11, I read the verses for you. And he gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. In other words, the Holy Spirit will impart to the body of Christ different gifts. Some gifts are apostles, some are teachers, some are prophets, some are pastors, some are evangelists, and so on. What was the main purpose for giving these gifts? In order the body of Christ, the sheep, the believers, could receive edifications so that they can grow in the Spirit as they hear the words of truth from these gifted servants of the living God. Some preachers are very gifted in preaching, and some preachers are very gifted in teaching the truth, and so on. So the main purpose that the Holy Spirit would indwell the servants of the living God and use them to be able to allow the voice of the Lord to come through and give them gifts of teachers, for example, to teach the truth of the Word of God, in order for others, the baby sheeps and the growing sheeps, to receive benefits in the truth of the Word of God. So the several ability in here, 5 talents, 2 talents, and 1, are these, you see, the abilities that the Holy Spirit has imparted unto us. Verse 16, then he that had received the 5 talents went and traded with the same, and made them other 5 talents. And likewise, he that had received 2, he also gained other 2. But he that had received 1 went and digged in the earth and hid his Lord's money. After a long time, the Lord of those servants cometh and reckoneth with them. And so he that had received 5 talents came and brought other 5 talents, saying, Lord, thou deliverest unto me 5 talents. Behold, I have gained beside them 5 talents more. His Lord said unto him, well done, thou good and faithful servants. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of thy Lord. He also that had received 2 talents came and said, Lord, thou deliverest unto me 2 talents. Behold, I have gained 2 other talents beside them. His Lord said unto him, well done, good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of thy Lord. You see, our Lord Jesus Christ gave his children many different kinds of talents, and some of them more than others. However, the Lord God gives us what I call a yardstick or a measuring stick. In other words, if you are given 5 talents, you are only expected to produce 5 talents. You would not be compared with the 10 talents. Likewise, the 2 talents are expected to only produce 2 talents. The Lord would not ask the 2 talents to produce 10 talents or 5 talents. You see, he gives us a yardstick, a measuring stick to go by. So that's only fair, because our Lord God is a God of absolute justice and absolute fairness and righteousness. So when he gives you 2, then of course he expects 2. That is understood. And if he gives you 5, then all he asks is just gain 5 more. Now, what is the meaning of trading and gaining? You see, the 5 talents says, Lord, I've traded and gained another 5 talents. And the Lord calls him to be good and faithful servant. The meaning of trading is exchanging. You know, when you trade, when you buy something and you pay $5, it's an exchange, isn't it? Right? Say, for example, I want to buy a cup of water and it cost me $1. So what I did was I paid the person $1 and get a cup of water. Right? So trading spiritually refers to fruit bearing. In John 15, our Lord Jesus said, I am the true vine, and my Father is the husbandman. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away. And every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth it, that it may bring forth more fruit. You see, what God is interested in is for us to bring forth more fruit as he purchased us. So trading in this scenario refers to bearing more fruits, because the main purpose of our Lord Jesus Christ choosing us as his servants is to bear fruits, isn't it? Remember John 15 verse 16. Ye have not chosen me, but I have chosen you and ordained you that ye should go and bring forth fruit, and that your fruit should remain, that whatsoever ye shall ask of the Father in my name, he may give it to you. So the main purpose for our Lord choosing us and ordaining us is to bear fruit. That's exactly what he says in John chapter 15, verse 16. So we've got to trade. So the five talents were given a chance to be able to trade and produce five. And obviously in this case, the five talent obeyed the Lord and traded and gained five more. Likewise, the two talent, of course, traded and gained two more. Now, trading means spiritually, just as I mentioned earlier, it's trading between our flesh with the presence of the Holy Spirit. The same thing as the five wise virgins that got the flask of oil. She bought the flask of oil. It's not free. You see? So trading is the same thing. It's not free. You don't get it free. No, you have to trade. So what do you mean by trading? It means when the pruning knives cuts across you, you have to trade. You see, John 15, I mentioned earlier, every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth it, that it may bring forth more fruit. So that's a knife. When the knife is cut across into your life, now what is the meaning of knife? Knives are represented difficulties and problems that are sent by the power of darkness, permitted by our Lord God to be turned over as knives. In other words, it is something, tribulations or problems that arises in your life that is not due to your sins. If it is due to your sins, it is called the consequences of sins. In other words, every sin that you commit will bring forth some problems because you committed the sin. Now, that is not purging. That is called the consequence of sins. And it's not a knife. Purging means something that comes into your life that is not due to your mistake. Okay, you did not make that problem, or you did not create that problem or make that mistake, and somebody blaming it on you as a result. So we can have two responses. We can respond in our flesh when that knife cuts across to us. Let's assume somebody point their fingers on you and say, it's your fault. You created that and you didn't. So you can respond in your flesh by being angry, by being screaming and yelling, or you can respond in the spirit. You see, the Lord allows Satan to subjugate us and attack us if we walk in our flesh. The power of darkness will only enchain us when we walk in our flesh, simply because the power of darkness lies in our flesh. While the power of the Lord lies in crucifixions of the flesh. Can you please remember this and put a note? The power of darkness lies in our flesh. And whenever he attacks us, he wants to control and subjugate and enslave us as we respond in our flesh and falter into sins. For that reason, the Lord Jesus gives us the cross to bear. So as the knife hits across us, the first response in our flesh is to be angry, right? Or to be complaining. All of those responses are in our flesh, correct? However, the Word of God tells us that we must deny ourselves and then take up the cross and follow Jesus in order to be his disciples. So when that knife cuts across to us, the Lord God will remind us through the presence of the Holy Spirit to crucify our flesh and quickly turn around with the shield of faith and with a heart of thanksgiving to buy a drop of oil. Now remember, the five wise virgins have got a flask of oil. So that means he's got a lot of pruning knives that has been traded with and bloom and bear. And of course, every single knife that is cut across, when you take it with a heart of thanksgiving and crucify your flesh, despite the very fact it is not your mistake, you thank the Lord God and buy oil. a drop of oil and say, Lord, I just want to thank you for this knife. When you say that through your mouth and you mean every word of it in your heart, you have just bought one drop of oil in that flask of the five wise virgins. Then perhaps you say, what is it for? Well, right now you may not see it, but sooner or later you will begin to experience that you are growing spiritually and you have the strength to shine forth amidst darkness. That's why you have the extra oil. And of course, as you buy the extra oil, then you also begin to grow spiritually. You see, the growth of the spirit permits us to be able to have the strength to journey and, of course, be able to ultimately unshackle every single sin as the knowledge of truth is given to us. You see, the Word of God is not to be read. You can go to school, you can go to seminaries, you can keep on reading and not acting it out. It is not going to do you any good. Even if you have the head knowledge, it is still not going to do you any good because you know why? It does not apply to your spiritual growth. Spiritual growth will only happen when the knife hits a cross in your life and with the heart of thanksgiving as you buy that one drop of oil and walk in the spirit, not in your flesh, like the Apostle Paul many times reminds us in Galatians 5 verse 16, to walk in the spirit so that we would not fulfill the lust of that flesh. When that knife hits a cross, you and you responded in the spirit with the heart of thanksgiving, recognizing there is a lesson from the Lord for us to bloom, for us to learn to be patient, for us to learn to have charity, and also with the heart of thanksgiving. As we practice walking in the spirit and allowing the Holy Spirit to be the Lord of our life, we bought and traded just a drop of oil, but that drop of oil began to allow you to grow in the spirit. You see, for that reason, our Lord Jesus Christ tells us, if you continue to live according to my words, ye shall know the truth, and that truth will set you free. And of course, you will be the disciples of Christ. So God is interested for us, once we are born again of the Spirit of God, once the Holy Spirit is imparted into our heart, then we are given the talents. You see, and as the talents are given to us, we must glorify God through the talents. Now, it is very important, as the word of the Lord tells us, according to our several ability, we must trade. So number one, we've got to buy oil. Number two, we've got to glorify the Lord God according to our ability. For example, if the Lord tells you to be a preacher or to be a pastor or to be able to pray for someone, every one of those ability that the Holy Spirit has given us, we've got to use them in the kingdom of heaven. In other words, we've got to use them to glorify God and to be able to assist the body of Christ in the areas that God has given us the ability. For example, if you are gifted translator, then you must use it, not for money. You know, don't do it for money, do it for Jesus. If you're a pastor, then you must shepherd your flock, not for money, but for Jesus. That's what our Lord tells us, to be good and faithful. Now, the two talents are the same thing. If you're given less talents, of course, then you only expect to do less. Much is given, much is required, the Word of God tells us. Now, it is very sad to see the one talent. Let's read on what happened to the one talent. He also that had received two talents came and said, Lord, thou deliverest unto me two talents. Behold, I have gained two other talents beside them. His Lord said unto him, well done, good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of thy Lord. Verse 24. Then he which had received the one talent came and said, Lord, I knew thee, that thou art a hard man, reaping where thou hast not sown, and gathering where thou hast not strawed. And I was afraid, and went and hid thy talent in the earth. Lo, there thou hast that is thine. And his Lord answered and said unto him, thou wicked and slothful servant, thou knewest that I reap where I sow not, and gather where I have not strawed. Thou oughtest therefore to have put my money to the exchanges, and then at my coming I should have received mine own with usury. Now, my dearly beloved, it is very sad to notice that the one talent refused to trade and hid his talents. What is the meaning of refusing to trade and hid his talents? To hid a talent means whatever God has given you to be used in the body of Christ. You see, to be used for his kingdom, to be used to glorify him, you didn't do that. That is very sad, isn't it? I have met some people, especially one who is a very gifted translator. And when I've asked her to help to translate, and even though we do some financial compensation for the work, the person replied and said, "I don't have time, you know. I am too busy here. Give this to somebody else. I'll recommend you some other names right here." This is what the Lord was trying to tell us here. Is this person, the one talent, dig in the earth and hid his Lord's money? When you are gifted with teaching or preaching, you must use it according to the touch of the Holy Spirit. As he tells you to do it, you must do it when he gives you an opportunity or a chance. To glorify him and to do his work, we must obey to the touch of the Holy Spirit and submit under the hand of our Master, isn't it? We must glorify him, just like the Apostle Paul says, glorify in our body and in our spirit, you see. But there are people out there, they would rather get some monetary gain out there, the temporal gain, perhaps mostly for money or name or whatever the reasons are, just for the temporal, and substitute what God has given them and throw them away and dig them and hide them somewhere. Now, that is absolutely disgraceful in the sight of God, and that is what we call evil, you see. And so many, many people, especially those who are born again of the Spirit of God, have not walked in obedience to the voice of the Lord. They have done it for money instead of for Jesus, and that's another evil servant, because you cannot trade Jesus with money. God sees deep in our heart what is our main intention. When the Holy Spirit gives us his ability, we cannot trade it and sell that ability for money. I've spoken to someone who mentioned that, you know, some people, in order to get into the website and to know the truth, you have to pay money, you know. And that is absolutely sad, because Jesus tells us, freely receive, freely give. We cannot commercialize our Lord Jesus Christ for money. Our Lord God has given us that ability in order to give it freely to other people to assist to do the work of the sheep, which we mentioned in the other preaching sessions. We cannot use money and to for our personal gain on the excuse that God has blessed us. That is an absolute lie of Satan. You see, some people have traded the work of the Lord God to get their own personal money, financial compensation in a huge amount of dollars, and they think that they are doing it for Jesus. You see, when you do for Jesus, you don't do it for money. You do it with absolute faith, with no money involved. My dearly beloved, of course, we understand if pastors are to labor, the scripture tells us, then they are worthy of their pay. That is understood. But that's different than somebody who's selling out their work for millions and millions of dollars and beyond what their needs are, beyond what their wages should be, and took advantage of that and turned it to a personal gain. Now, that's different. That's called a false prophet, somebody that would serve their belly as their God rather than Christ Jesus, you see. When Christ Jesus was on earth, he never gained not even one penny. And all of the work that he has done, whether it's a miracle of healing somebody, blind person or deaf person, or healing the dead, did he ever collect a penny out of them? He would have been loaded and richer, right? No. He did not do that simply because he wants to set us an example, how to be his disciples, you see. And the Lord tells us not to even carry anything with us. Wherever we go, if we come in and bring peace into that place, then that house not only would be blessed, they in return, yes, it is their duty to serve the servant of a living God and offer them in the name of Jesus, Jehovah Jireh. In other words, offer them as the Lord touched their heart. But as a servant of a living God, we are not allowed to use our own fleshly authority and push them for money. That is absolute sin, and that is a false prophet. So in this case, the one talent is a disobedient and evil servant, simply because, number one, he mentioned that he was afraid. Now, the word afraid, we know that it is the fruit of the flesh. Fear is not the fruit of the Holy Spirit. In verse 25 says, "And I was afraid, and went and hid thy talent." You see, the one talent servant says, "I was afraid." Afraid is fearful, and fearful is the fruit of the flesh, because the nine fruits of the Holy Spirit, let me read it to you in Galatians 5:22, says, "But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law." You see, the nine fruits of the Holy Spirit does not include fear. On the contrary, it includes faith. Opposite of fear is faith, and opposite of faith is fear. Those two are opposite of each other. Fear is the fruit of the flesh. Galatians 5 verse 19. "Now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these: adultery, fornication, uncleanness, pride, anger, craftiness, doubt, fear, idolatry, greediness, nervousness, lying, dishonesty, etc." So the works of the flesh includes in here doubt and fear and others, of course. Right? I've just read it to you. So let me repeat. "Now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these: adultery, fornications, uncleanness, pride, anger, craftiness, doubt, fear, idolatry, greediness, nervousness, lying, dishonesty, etc." So fear in here is the work of the flesh. So we know that the one talent servant is not abiding in Christ. It's abiding outside of Christ, because he does not manifest the nine fruits of the Holy Spirit. Rather, he manifests the fruits of the flesh, which means he is walking in the flesh. Okay? And so not only he was afraid, what was said was he was complaining and grumbling. Verse 24 says, "Then he which had received the one talent came and said, Lord, I knew thee that thou art an hard man, reaping where thou hast not sown, gathering where thou hast not strawed." Now, these comments are not the truth. This is a liar. This comments saying that thou art an hard man, our Lord God is a merciful Heavenly Father and the very best boss we ever would have in our life. He is not an hard man. Our Lord Jesus Christ is full of compassions. When he see many, many people, 5,000 people with no food, he'll make them sit down and begin to bless the food and break the bread and the fish and feed the 5,000 people. He saw them as a sheep with no shepherd. Our Lord God is full of compassion, not an hard man. So this particular comments in verse 24 is a comment of from Satan, the father of lies. So this one talent person is filled with absolute negativity and absolute lies. For that reason, we know that this person is absolutely walking with the power of darkness in his heart, even though he is supposed to have the Holy Spirit and be born again of the Spirit of God. He is manifesting a life full of the flesh, walking in the flesh instead of walking in the Spirit. And so as a result, our Lord God, verse 26, replied. So his Lord answered and said unto him, "Thou wicked and slothful servant, thou knewest that I reap where I sow not, and gather where I have not strawed." You see, this particular one talent servant not only is lazy, it is also wicked and not faithful, not good, because he was afraid. Because you know why? He didn't trade. There's one thing that he fails to listen and he fails to obey. And so he did not trade, unlike the other five and the two talents. That means when difficulties arise in this one talent's servant's life, he refused to act out the word of God. He refused to deny himself. He refused to take up the cross, and obviously he was not able to follow our Lord God. That's the requirement. So when the knife cuts across, instead of responding in the spirit, he responded in his flesh. And as a result, he's filled by the power of darkness instead of by the Holy Spirit. Remember, he's walking in his flesh. And the power of darkness controls our flesh when we falter in our flesh. So as a result, this particular one talent is the same as the branch that does not bear any fruits and begin to dry up in the long run. That's very dangerous. You see? And ultimately, this one talent, because he responded, instead of with the heart of thanksgiving, thanking God for the knives, he responded with an ugly character of his flesh, being angry, complaining, screaming, yelling, blaming everybody else, just like the worldly people. He did not recognize the voice of the Lord and learn the lessons from the Holy Spirit. He did not recognize. He wants himself to be his own boss. He wants to walk like the world, talk like the devil, and think same as unbelievers, even though he is a born-again Christian. My dearly beloved, are you one of these? Now, let's be honest with me. Are you one of these? Are you born again of the Spirit of God, and yet you are behaving like this one talent person? My dearly beloved, I pray that you would repent, because the truth of the matter is, whatever a man sows, that shall he also reap, the Apostle Paul says. He that soweth to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption, and he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. It doesn't matter whether you're born again, whether you're a pastor, it doesn't make difference. Whatever you sow is whatever you're going to reap. If you're going to sow to your flesh, I can guarantee you, you're not going to be able to reap eternal life. There is no way. Because you are already behaving like the one talent. Before long, if you continue to reject the knives of the Lord, instead of with a heart of thanksgiving, you complain, you scream, you yell, you get angry, you have hatred, you will plummet and become the dried branch. And you know where the dried branch end up? The same like the one talent servant. It is the same parables, and it is the same group of people. And of course, they're the third ground. And of course, they're the good, unfortunately. And the five foolish virgins. Are you one of them? May I petition before you to repent? And not out of pride of your heart. You see, pride goes before a fall, isn't it? You see, God resisteth the pride, but giveth grace to the humble. Grace is only imparted when you are humble. It doesn't matter how much head knowledge you have. It doesn't matter if you would be a pastor or you could be a preacher. It's not how much head knowledge you have, but rather how do you behave with an honest heart like the fourth ground, like the sheep, very humble and meek, and say, Lord, I blew it. Just like King David. One thing good, precious about David, he was a very honest person in the sight of the Lord God. There is one thing precious about David, even though he blew it in his life, yet he genuinely repented, unlike Saul, you know. Saul the king said, oh God, have mercy upon me, and then did not repent and then run and chase David again. He repeated his mistakes over and over and over again, even though it's not a major mistake. He didn't kill as much as and commit fornication with Bathsheba like King David did. But King Saul did not repent. My dearly beloved, God is a God of compassions. He's a God of absolute mercy. If you don't have the strength, you can cry before him for strength. But you need to be honest with the Lord God and say, Lord, I couldn't make it. We're not supposed to anyway in our flesh, right? It takes the presence of the Holy Spirit, the power of the risen Savior through the presence of the Holy Spirit, by walking in the Spirit, by obeying the Holy Spirit, by uplifting the Holy Spirit, and buying, of course, the flask of the five wise virgins. We need to buy every single drop of oil every time the knife cuts across. How else are we going to get our flask of oil? And how is our light going to shine in darkness if there is no flask of oil? Do you understand? Do you comprehend what I'm trying to say here? My dearly beloved, we must pay our price of trading and crucifying our flesh, and let us learn to walk in the Spirit. Let us trade like the 5 talents servants and the 2 talent servants. God is not expecting you to produce more than 2 talents if you are only given 2 talents. Our Lord God is a very fair and just God. He just expects you to produce and continue to be fruitful in whatever area the Holy Spirit has given us. Because someday we will be judged in the judgment seat of Christ. The Apostle Paul said we all must give account in the judgment seat of Christ, whether it is good or evil. My dearly beloved, the good one is awesome, isn't it? Like the 5 talents and the 2 talent servants. Because the Lord will tell them, oh, thou hast been faithful over a few things. Thou good and faithful servant, thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of thy Lord. You see, someday we have to give account to the Lord God. I don't know how you're going to give account to yours because I'm ready with mine. I've got to be ready because when he asks me, how do I face him? You see, I'm not afraid of anything else, but the only thing that I really revere is I must walk like the 5 talents and the 2 talents. I ask the grace of God not to fear nothing, not even death, because we can't afford to. You see, let alone losing money, right? Are you worried about those things? About the temporal things? We can't afford to worry, you know? Because you know why? Worry means no faith. And if you worry, it means you're outside of Christ. Remember, the 9 fruits of the Holy Spirit include faith. And what happened in here, this 1 talent is written in the Amplified Bible as constantly afraid. You see, it's not just 1 time. It's constantly, means non-stop. Can we afford to do that? That's abiding outside of Christ, bearing the fruit of the flesh. We cannot afford to do that. We've got to trust our Savior. We've got to trust the Holy Spirit and walk in obedience to the Holy Spirit. And so, as a result, in verse 27, it says, our Lord tells the 1 talent, do you really know that I reap where I sow not and gather where I have not strawed? You see, that's how the Amplified write it. Do you really know exactly that or mean what you said? Do you know what you're talking about? That's how our Lord says it. And of course, our Lord replies, thou wicked and slothful servant. My dearly beloved, our mouth must be sanctified by the truth of the word of God. Our mind must be sanctified with the truth of the word of God. Our footstep must be sanctified with the truth of the word of God. So is our eyes, our ears, and our hands. We can never, ever, ever speak words that are not useful to the hearers, isn't it? As the Apostle Paul tells us, we must speak words that will edify others. We must never allow negativity to come through our lips, our line of thoughts, because all negativity comes from the power of darkness. All things that cause you nervousness and fearfulness and worries, they're all demonic. They are not of the Spirit. They are of the devil. And we cannot allow the devil to make use of our lips, of our mind, and our hearts and be controlled by the power of darkness. Because ultimately, the ending, when you do that, is verse 30. And that is a very scary place to be in. And it says in verse 30, and cast ye the unprofitable servant into outer darkness, there shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. My dearly beloved, this is not a joke. The lake of fire and hell is not a joke. It is true. There are many, many testimonies to prove that. The story of Ian McCormick, I've said the other day in the other preaching. He went down to hell and went up to heaven. You see, he got saved in the last minute because his mother had been praying for him for 20 long years and the Lord heard prayers of his mother and saved him. This is the real story. As he went into darkness, when he died because he was intoxicated by box jellyfish. And the doctor told him in the hospital, don't you ever close your eyes. When you close, you're gone. But he said, I was so tired, I can't handle it. Let me just close my eyes for a few seconds. As he closed his eyes, he went into eternity. And so he found himself in the room of darkness. He thought he was in the hospital looking for a switch for a light, you see. So he went down in darkness. He didn't know it was hell. And he began to walk and walk and walk. And let me look for a switch. He can't find one. Let me touch my hand. There is no hands. Wait a minute. Let me touch my face. There is no face. Where am I? Then all of a sudden he saw many, many eyes looking at him and heard the very root voice that we frequently hear on earth, isn't it? And the voice says, shut up. You deserve to be here. And Ian McCormick, in the last minute, got saved when he was in the ambulance prior to his death. Believe it or not, my dearly beloved, the Lord God loves him. And of course, he was chosen as the mother had prayed for him for 20 years, and that prayer would never come in vain, you see. Our Heavenly Father hears every single word that we utter through a prayer, believe it or not. You know, if the power of darkness tells you, oh, God doesn't love you, God doesn't know you, that's a lie of Satan. God loves us so much that he sent his only begotten son to die on the cross. You see, he loves you so much. He loves me so much. He loves each and every one of his creation so much that he sent his only begotten son to die and shed his precious blood, went through all of that suffering and torment, and went down to hell and, of course, rose from the dead and paid all the sin debt in full in order to save you and I. That's how much he loves us. My dearly beloved, I petition before you not to be this one talent servant. And so as a result of the story of Ian McCormick, I want to give you a brief conclusions. When he was in hell with his absolute darkness, he remembered everything, you know. This is why our Lord Jesus Christ says, when we are thrown into eternity of lake of fire under condemnation, that is very scary, because it is our memories. It is our conscience that will never fade away. Those conscience will prick us and torment us of the sins that we committed. If we do not repent of our sins and ask the blood of Jesus to wash it clean, you will be under that conscience for eternity of guilt that cannot be washed away. You see, what can wash away our sins? Nothing but the blood of Jesus, my dearly beloved. Nothing. You can have religion. You can have to do a lot of good things. How about the sins that you committed? Who's going to wash them clean? Who's going to pay for it? You see, the Word of God tells us only the blood of Jesus can wash away every single one of our sins. You see, so Ian McCormick was in hell, and there was absolute darkness. Like the verse 30 says, cast ye the unprofitable servant into outer darkness. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. You see, weeping and gnashing of teeth means absolute regret. But by the time you are in hell, it is too late. What is the use of regretting when you cannot change nothing in hell? There's nothing can be done, my dearly beloved. This is why you need to turn around right now and repent of your sins and please and ask for God for mercy. Because you don't want to be there. That's not for a year, 100 years, 1,000 years, 1,000,000 years, forever. Can you afford to be there? Not at all. This is why I come to share with you and plead with you, please. That's not the place that we should be. That's for the power of darkness, for the devil under condemnations. The Word of God tells us, John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him shall not perish but have everlasting life. My dearly beloved, believing in Jesus is not by the lips. Believing in Jesus by the heart. You see, when you believe in Jesus, you trust Jesus in everything, your future, your life, your finances. You don't struggle. You don't worry about it. When you worry, you don't trust. And you cleave to him. You see, believing in Jesus is cleaving. That's how the Amplified Bible defines it. Cleaving. You cleave to Jesus in everything that you do. You pray and you cry to God, oh God, have mercy, help me. You see, you cleave to Jesus. You don't look upon left and right. You remember the promises of God. And of course, believing in Jesus means relying on his power. Don't let your environment, your circumstances threaten you. That's what Satan likes to do, isn't it? He accuses. He gives you a lot of thought in your head. And before long, you plummet down in fear. You look at left and right instead of focusing unto the Word of God written Joshua chapter 1. Read Joshua chapter 1. The secret of success in Christ Jesus is to focus the Word of God and act upon the Word of God. Not just merely read it, but do it. Okay? He that hath my commandment and keepeth them, he it is that loveth me. And he that loveth me shall be loved of my Father, and I will love him, and will manifest myself to him. And if a man love me, he will keep my words, and my Father will love him, and we will come unto him and make our abode with him. My dearly beloved, all it takes is your choice of opening your hearts and repenting and confessing each and every one of your sins and say, Lord, I have not been honest with you. Lord, I've got craftiness in my heart. Lord, I've hatred in my heart. Please forgive all of the sins by the precious blood of Jesus. And Lord, please forgive me for being grumpy instead of being thankful, isn't it? You see, what God requires is our genuineness from our heart. Because man looks on the outside. You can pretend with others, you know. How could you pretend with Almighty God who can see through deep in our heart? Everything is naked, open naked in his eyes. It is very foolish of us to think that God doesn't see through. Even the devil sees it. Do you know that? For that reason, my dearly beloved, I would like to encourage you to be honest with God and cry to God for mercy and be the 5 talent and the 2 talent servant instead of that 1 talent. If in the past you have not glorified God, if in the past you have lived for mammon, how about now? Let's repent of that sins and ask the Lord God for mercy. And the blood of Jesus is so powerful, it can wash away every single sins that we commit and make us a new creature, a new person in Christ Jesus to glorify for our Lord. Now, my dearly beloved, I would like to conclude this particular message this morning with one precious testimony of a servant of a living God. His name is Dr. John Song. Last name is S-U-N-G, Song. He is the most powerful evangelist approximately about maybe 80 years ago. In fact, Reverend Schubert mentioned that. Reverend Schubert was his closest friend and also a missionary to China. And Reverend Schubert wrote about him. Now, Dr. John Song was a poor pastor's son from China. So when he came to America, he came by prayer. And then he told the Lord God, he said, Lord, if you let me come to get my degree in the United States, then I will serve you when I graduated. I promise, it's a deal. So at that point of time, he was not born again Christian, but then he was the son of a pastor. So he took his degree and even got PhD, extremely bright, brilliant person, and got his degree real fast, his PhD, in a very short period of time. And he's very talented. He could play piano and he could preach, even though he wasn't born again. He could copy those preaching messages and did it pretty well. However, when he graduated, he was offered many options, either further his studies or some other things to do. But nonetheless, he chose, because he remembered his vow to the Lord God, to be his servants. So he went into a liberal seminary in New York. And that liberal seminary, instead of teaching the truth, caused him to leave the Lord God. Being liberal means you literally the same thing as unbelievers and question every kind of doctrine. And of course, the truth from the Word of God was all messed up. This is why I don't encourage people to just go in the seminaries and study, because you know why? The more you study many times, the worse you get. Because the Word of God cannot be studied by the carnal mind. It must be studied from the Spirit, from the Holy Spirit. Nonetheless, so Dr. Johnson was so miserable in that seminary to the point that he decided to even want to end his life. You know, he doesn't know. He was so confused and so depressed in that place because Not only he did not know the Lord, he has gone astray from the Lord, and now worse still, he began to search the meaning of life, studying from all kinds of religions. However, the Lord God has chosen this man to be his absolute vessel of honor. And it was in New York, in that seminary, where he was kneeling, that one day the visions of the Lord appeared to him. He saw the vision of Jesus Christ shedding his precious blood and dying on that cross. And he heard the voice of the Lord telling him, "Son, I've died on the cross for you and shed his precious blood. And your sins are forgiven." So when he saw that visions and heard the voice of the Lord, he repented of his sins and he became a born again believer, a genuine believer, and of course, a genuine servant of the Lord. And so he ran out to his principle, you see, of the liberal theology, and told him, "Sir, you need to repent." Can you imagine if you tell someone, especially a principal with a position, to tell him to repent? And of course, in reply, the principal says, "Well, you know what? You need rest. Johnson, you need rest." And so the principal put him into mental asylum. And so he tried to run out from the mental asylum. But the Lord put him back, worse, into the more severe mental patients area. You see, earlier he was just among the light cases, mental patient. Now he's into a place where severe mental cases are. And it is right there that he began to study scripture. He was in the mental hospital for 193 days and studied his Bible 40 times. And it was right there that the Lord taught him the truth instead of in the seminaries, you see. And the Holy Spirit began to speak to his heart and teach him the whole Bible, just like the Holy Spirit has revealed unto the Apostle Paul for 3.5 years, right? And so, Dr. Johnson was revealed by the Holy Spirit in the mental hospital, and it was there where all the mental cases, very severe, that he learned and began to empathize with people in hell. And so, one day he met one of so-called doctor. During the day, the doctor is a normal man. But at night, when darkness came, he began to scream and yell in absolute torment. And so Dr. Johnson asked him, "What is wrong with you?" And he explained to Dr. Johnson, he said, "I am under torment because I've committed sins, and the sin is the sin of fornication with his aunt. And so that particular sin has tormented this person. And at night, of course, he has also many other sins. The devil would come and tormented him." Essentially, what the Holy Spirit tries to show him was the conditions and the scenario of hell and darkness. My dearly beloved, God loves every one of us. And he does not want to see any one of us in darkness. But God gives us the free will to choose where we want to be. You see, if you insist not to believe in Jesus and refuse the cup of salvation, which is absolutely free for us, even though it took the life of Jesus, then it is our mistake, isn't it? It is our choice, isn't it? Just like Judas decided to go to a lake of fire, to go to hell, and sold Jesus for 30 talents. That's his choice. God's not going to force you. But that's not because God does not love you. That's because you choose to believe in the voice of Satan. It is your choice, you see. So ultimately, Dr. Johnson learned all his spiritual lessons in that mental hospital. However, when the lessons is up, the voice of the Lord tells him he'll be out of that place and to return to China, begin preaching. True enough, just like the voice of the Lord says, he was set free from the mental hospital by his friend, guaranteeing that he is a normal man. So He left the United States and returned to China to begin to do the work of the Lord. Now, he was mightily used by the Lord wherever he goes. And he would be able to preach in one hall with thousands of people, and literally thousands of them would be on tears repenting of their sins. In fact, at one time, Dr. Johnson was being challenged by the unbelievers, saying that he is the charlatan. A charlatan is somebody who performs somebody that is fake, trying to make a lot of noise, and that is not real. So what they did was, they sent him approximately 2,500 people that are deaf, that are blind, bedridden, in all the difficult cases of people that are really ill. And so many brothers and sisters in Christ advise him to run away, to ignore those people. However, being Dr. Johnson, he did not step down. He decided to face the challenge in the power of our Lord God, because he remembered at that point of time that the Lord will always answer prayers. So as a result, when he was being challenged, he cried to the Lord God in his prayer. And Dr. Johnson says, "Lord, you said in John chapter 14, verse 12, I read, 'Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me, the works that I do shall he do also, and greater works than these shall he do, because I go unto my Father.'" So Dr. Johnson prayed and took the verse of the Lord God and believed with all of his heart and cried to God to heal the blind, the deaf, the lame, and the bedridden, just like Jesus dying. And believe it or not, my dearly beloved, God has heard his prayer. Out of 2,500 people, approximately 1,000 over people were healed. The blind got their sight, the deaf would hear, the lame would walk, the bedridden were totally healed. This is a real story, my dearly beloved. And this man is a servant of a living God with a very high talent, just like the 10 talents. You see, he was given the gift of an apostleship, which is very rare to come by these days, isn't it? Nonetheless, the Lord tells us right here in verse 27, "Thou oughtest therefore have put my money to the exchanges, and then in my coming I should have received mine with usury." So in here, the exchanges, which means the bankers, written in the Amplified Bible in Luke, refers to the Holy Spirit. We must trust our talent into the hand of the Holy Spirit. In other words, we must trust the Holy Spirit to be able to live and lead us and control us instead of our flesh. And of course, our Lord Jesus tells us, in bear with usury means with interest, means fruit bearing. Like I mentioned earlier, we have to bear fruits and be fruitful for Jesus. And verse 28, "Take therefore the talent from him and give it unto him which hath 10 talents. For unto every one that hath shall be given, and he shall have abundance. But from him that hath not shall be taken away even that which he hath." This means, if you bloom, he is going to send more pruning knives so that you can bloom more and more, some 30-fold, some 60-fold, and some 100-fold. You see, every single blooming is good for us. We grow in the Spirit, of course, and many times we also receive a crown of life, especially when we're being pruned in terms of death, and when we overcame that, we do receive the crown of life, as he promises in the book of James, chapter 1. And so, most important, my dearly beloved, we must never forget. Our Lord tells us in Revelation 3, verse 5. Revelation chapter 3, verse 5. "He that overcometh, the same shall be clothed in white raiment, and I will not blot out his name out of the book of life, but I will confess his name before my Father and before his angels." My dearly beloved, it is now time to part. Once again, may the Lord richly bless you to remember the story of the 5 talents and the 2 talent and the 1 talent. May I petition and pray for you that you would repent of your sins if you walk like the 1 talent servant instead of the 5 talent and begin trading. And may I petition before you to walk and be faithful just like the good and faithful servants, and that we would be found faithful over a few things so that someday when we meet our Lord face to face, he will give us the remark of being well done, thou good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of thy Lord. In Jesus' most precious name, I ask and pray for. Amen.